Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait until you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the "no animals were harmed" message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
Hey folks, about 10 years ago, I was buried under a mountain of debt. I remember the sleepless nights, waking up at 3 o'clock in the morning, running the numbers in my head. How the hell am I going to get out from under all of this debt? I, of course, pulled the trigger. I did the nuclear option, a Chapter 7, but you know what? You don't have to. All you need is Lightstream. So did you know that refinancing your credit card balances can lower your interest rate and save you money, and you don't have to be a financial expert in order to do it? Here's exactly how. With Lightstream, you can roll your cards into one low payment at a fixed rate as low as 4.98% APR with autopay and excellent credit. That's way lower than most credit cards. Look at your credit card statement. I bet it's lower than the interest rate you're paying right now. Plus, you can get a loan from $5,000 to $100,000, and there are absolutely no fees. In fact, the application is 100% online, and you can even get your money in your bank account as soon as the day you apply. And now, just for you, apply now and get a special interest rate discount to save even more. The only way to get this discount is to go to lightstream.com/Seska. That's LIGHTSTREAM.com/CESCA. Link in the description under this episode at bobseska.com. Subject to credit approval, rates range from 4.98% APR to 19.99% APR and include a 0.50 autopay discount. Lowest rate requires excellent credit. Terms and conditions apply and offers are subject to change without notice. Visit lightstream.com/Seska for more information. And now let the cartoons begin.
The Bob Seska Show.
Bob Seska.
Hi, Bob.
Oh, hi, Bob.
Hi, Bob.
Hello.
The Bob Seska Show.
From our nation's capital, it is Thursday, April 14, 2022, and this is the Bob Seska Show on the Sexy Liberal Podcast Network. Hello, I'm Bob.
Hello, Bob.
Hello. Day 451 of the Biden-Harris administration, 206 days until the 22 midterms. I'm on Instagram. Lots of fun stuff to look at on my Instagram. The Bob Seska is my handle. I'm also on Twitter at BobSeska_go. And sitting right over there, it's the Goths. Yes, the Goth Ninjas, Jody Hamilton from the From the Bunker podcast, patreon.com/FromTheBunker. Plus sketch comedy. Lots of sketch comedy happening at patreon.com/FromTheBunker. Sign up now. And David Ferguson, we call him T-Rex because of his teeny tiny little arms.
Hey.
His music project is Astral Summer. You can find them at astralsummer.bandcamp.com. I have unlocked a major achievement. I feel like I am a success this week in my podcasting and radio endeavors. I officially turned on the great Chris Lavoie this week. I finally done it. I think it was my, you know what? I think it was my haircut. I got a fresh haircut.
Oh, yeah.
And here's the thing.
Can you describe the cut to us?
It's the same haircut I get every single time. It's like, you know, it's like one of those fades where I get the buzzer thing on the sides and short on the top. It basically Forrest Gump, if you're
Not exactly. Not exactly the Forrest Gump haircut, but it's close. That seems to be the style these days, right? And so because we only started doing the Zoom thing for the Stephanie Miller show since the pandemic started, right, my haircut appointments have been spotty. There was a, you know, like whatever it was, 10 months where I barely got a haircut at all. If I did, it was myself in the bathroom with my beard trimmer, which was just a disaster. We remember the pictures. We all know, we all went through that where we were cutting our own hair.
And I've been cutting my own hair since 2002. So.
Okay. Well, what happened was when I finally went back to
never cut my own hair ever.
Yeah. Well, that's good.
It was a very bad misadventure in 1996 when I ended up calling my hairdresser at 1:30 in the morning, who apparently, I mean, this is before the days of caller ID, but she just picked up the phone in the middle of the night and said, "What did you do?"
Yeah, see, when I did it, when I was doing it during the pandemic, well, we're still in the pandemic, by the way, but yeah, in the early days of the pandemic, I just looked like I had the mange. I just looked like a dog.
Didn't you use a Flobee like George Clooney?
No. Where do you even get a Flobee these days? Can you
even
buy one?
I think you can
one?
Get them. So I'll Google it for you.
Yeah, are they
for $19.99 on TV?
The made-for-TV section at Walmart right next to the Garden Weasel.
Flobee.com.
So I finally did get my haircut with the regular person I go to get my haircut. And I think it kind of shocked Chris. Like, oh, my God, who is this person suddenly? And and so I feel like I've achieved something significant in my broadcasting career. Chris Lavoie officially impressed with my appearance. So that was nice. So thank you.
But did he say hello to you like I say hello to Charlie?
No.
Like,
not quite.
How are you doing, Bob Seska?
not Chris's style. No. It was more direct. Oh, my God. I'm so turned on right now. That's basically what he said.
Yeah, no. Yeah. Actually,
I've been telling you that since 2006, and nobody even gives a damn.
Yeah. I know.
Oh, no, but I heard.
I love you for who you are, not just
exactly.
Your hot haircut.
Well, thank you for not treating me like a piece of meat. And you know,
we don't do that, Bob. We love you for your brain.
I appreciate that. Thank you so much.
But no, I heard Charlie on Mary Trump's show the other day, and she goes, and I hear you with Jody Hamilton on Stephanie Miller, and he goes, yes, we are the power couple.
Okay.
Well, the heart to heart of the Stephanie Miller show.
Well, you see, the next achievement I have to unlock is getting invited on Mary Trump's show. So that's like
I
the
know
next
me
thing
too. I'm
list.
Like Mary, come on.
Yeah.
Oh, we should all go as a group. Like it's your rowdy neighbors that have come over.
You know what? Including this show, I'm on 7 shows over the course of a week. I think I'm a little bit overexposed, quite honestly.
No, honey, you can never be overexposed, Bob.
We've never actually seen your butt, so you're not officially
not
overexposed.
Even.
Yet.
Never been photographed getting out of a car with no underwear on.
I am 100% naked from the waist down right now.
Always.
Right now.
Of course, you're in the refrigerator, and so, you know.
There's no video. That's why we don't have video on the show, because I just like to go
just
out
sitting there naked with a Batman T-shirt on.
Yes, exactly.
Pretty much.
And socks, I bet, because your feet get cold.
Well, yeah, I mean, you got to keep your feet warm when the lady is putting on the air conditioning.
Yeah, and we do have the air conditioning on now. In case you've heard noise in the background, that's what.
Oh,
that's
you,
what
got
it is.
You got our heat wave that we had a week ago. Now it's like normal.
Fun. All right. Well, great. Here comes the climate crisis. That was my official Eeyore response to your nice weather remark. Okay. Well, we've got a new Quinnipiac poll that just dropped today. And I have to say, I have no idea what to make of Quinnipiac these days. I think Quinnipiac has been especially janky for the last couple of years, I think. Like most of the shock polls, like you go over to the Drudge Report, for example, and it's always got like the siren light and the red lettering. It's like shock poll. And then I always go, oh, it must be Quinnipiac. Sure enough, it is Quinnipiac. So this is the results of the poll. And if true, we're in serious trouble. But if it's janky, I don't know what to make of it. I don't know where the hell we are, because the polling has been all over the place. So 39% of Americans approve of Joe Biden's handling of the response to Russia's invasion of Ukraine, while 48% disapprove. They want him to do more. The American people, at least according to janky Quinnipiac, They want Joe Biden to do more. Apparently, 48% of the American people are suicidal and want a nuclear war.
It depends on how you ask the question, too.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
because, I mean, I wish that he would do more, but, I mean, incrementally more. Like, I mean, just a few more planes and tanks. I don't think that we should go gaily tripping into a nuclear exchange. But, you know, I don't think anyone's – I mean, if you preface the question – I don't know. I feel like this was a weird methodology. The question itself, I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, do they want us to put boots on the ground? Because I don't think so.
I don't understand what the line is. How is this not enough? How is what we're doing not enough? I mean, because if we do any more, we've already passed, you know, I don't know how many billions of dollars worth of aid to Ukraine. We've done sanctions across the board, sanctioning Putin's children, for God's sake. And we've already started to see effects of all of these things. I mean, Joe Biden led a global pushback. And I underscore the word led. This came from the White House. It was a global pushback against Vladimir Putin that permeated not just politics, not just the international stage, but pop culture, social media. Corporations are lined up against Vladimir Putin in large part because of what, you know, this current administration has done in response to the invasion. Any further, I mean, we're really walking a very, very delicate line. And I think responding to poll questions like this, oh, we want Joe Biden to do more, gets into the realm of exactly what is that you mean? What does doing more actually mean to you? And if it means...
See, and for that reason, I feel like the question is ultimately meaningless.
Yeah.
Because, like, I mean, more could be anything from, you know, five more rocket launchers to nuking Moscow.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, you know, more... I find this premise invalid. To me, it's such an open-ended question and it doesn't specify and there's no follow-up and it's like a Chuck Todd question.
Yeah. You
know? Right. And yeah, I guess that should have been the follow-up question, like maybe a multiple choice. Which of these things do you think would qualify as more? What would you be satisfied with when it comes to more aid to Ukraine?
Most of the people that are being polled probably don't have children in the military because, you know, Marjorie Three Toes thinks that's dumb.
Oh, yeah. We're going to talk about that later. Yeah, sure.
But yeah, I mean, most of the people that are polled don't have children that are currently serving. I have my old roommate, her son, joined the Marines a year ago.
Yeah.
And good for him. He needed the discipline.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to get an education, all that stuff, but I'm terrified for him.
Yeah, I don't blame you. Well,
our Marines are not, we're not sending them. I mean, I just,
the Marines go in first though. Yeah. They're the ones that go in first.
Mm-hmm.
They're not like Air Forces like, yay.
What?
The Marines are the first that we sacrifice.
Yeah, on the ground.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But, like, to me, just, like, that's not the kind of conflict we're facing. We're facing something much more global.
Yeah.
I think. And I just, putting troop boots on the ground, I don't think that's even on the table for the Biden administration.
No, it's not.
Yeah, there's, well, like, I hope they hold fast.
And when
that.
You were saying, Bob, like, you know, what do you do if you're, like, part of a Pentagon strategy group or something? Those people don't read the polls.
Oh, no.
They look at the facts on the ground.
If there is some concern at a political level from the White House, they're going to put pressure on the Pentagon. That's how a poll like this would be ostensibly applied. I mean, I'm just speaking hypothetically, but that's kind of how that chain of command works out. And ultimately, I haven't seen Joe Biden necessarily cling to poll results in terms of plans of action. But I do know that he got a hell of a lot tougher the last time there was a poll like this in the field, or we got results like this. He got, at least in terms of his rhetoric, he got a lot tougher.
But that's correlation, maybe not causation, because that was also the day that the war crimes pictures started coming.
That's also true. Sure. But I mean, right now it was just announced.
I feel like if the Biden administration continues to play to type, which they have so far, they will roll competently along and ignore the polls and do what needs to be done.
Well, I hope so.
But
I mean,
I also caution at this point. I mean, we're talking about, like, I hear all this doom and gloom about the midterms, but we still have public hearings from the January 6th committee to go through.
Sure, sure. Yeah.
And I mean, I feel like that could significantly turn, I mean, but like, I don't know. I feel like it's too early to start to wet our pants about the midterms.
Well, what we're talking about is a snapshot in time. That's for sure. And a lot of things can change between now and then. But that said, the memes start to get established now. I want to come back to that real quick, because before we jump off of Ukraine, I just wanted to mention that we're going to be sending an additional $800 million worth of military and other security assistance to Ukraine to help with the invasion. And that was after Biden spoke with Zelensky and said that, quote, the new package of assistance will contain many of the highly effective weapons systems we've already provided and new capabilities tailored to the wider assault we expect Russia to launch in eastern Ukraine. So this is happening. Question being, in the context of that poll, is this enough? Is this more? Is this the more that you want? Or is it not enough? And if it's not enough, how much is just right? And this is the big question mark that we don't know. But on the surface, just looking at the basics of this particular question and the results of it, it seems like there's a trend toward, yeah, do something. We don't know how it's going to affect us. Probably some sort of world war, but whatever. People aren't thinking that far down the road, maybe. I don't know. Democrats say 77% to 14%. Republicans say 67% to 25%. And independents say 66% to 28% of the United States has a moral responsibility to do more to stop the killing of civilians in Ukraine. So that kind of gives us an additional level of clarification in terms of what the first question meant. So I'm not sure what that even means, to do more to stop the killing of civilians in Ukraine. Again, that seems to suggest to me putting boots on the ground. I don't know.
It does. It does to me. It's like, okay, kids, what are we supposed to do? Give a suburb of a major city anti-aircraft weapons? I mean, right. What are we supposed to do?
Yeah, yeah. I don't understand, or I think I understand all too well. And something like this would lead to a complete disaster. If you think it's bad news for civilians in Ukraine right now, put American boots on the ground and see how much exponentially worse it's going to be, not just for Ukraine civilians, but civilians in Eastern Europe and many of our NATO allies within Triggers Article 5, and in we all go, right?
Weren't the presidents of Poland and Latvia and Estonia and somewhere else going to Ukraine? And it's like, oh, if any one of those presidents die, then NATO's in.
Oh, right. Yeah, that triggers the Article 5 too, right?
It absolutely would. Yeah. Have, because I believe they're in Ukraine. Four of them, I believe, are in Ukraine right now.
Yeah. Well, Russia has continued to saber rattle with nuclear weapons in response to admitting Finland and Norway to NATO. I think it's is it Finland and Norway or is it Finland and Sweden?
I think it's Finland and Norway.
Right.
It's Sweden.
No, you're right. David, you're right. Sweden's closer than Norway. Sweden.
Okay, gotcha. So because those two nations have been invited to join NATO, you know, once again, Russia is saying, hey, you know what? You do that. If they join, that's nuclear war. But look, let them join. I mean, I understand rules of engagement and engaging militarily with troops on the ground or no-fly zones and how that would trigger a nuclear exchange. I think this is more along the lines of an idle threat. I don't know that this is something that they would actually act on. It just doesn't seem that way.
The threat, I believe, was we're going to put nuclear armaments on a Baltic state, which they already have them near a Baltic state. So everybody's like, yeah, whatever, dude. Basically, Finland is like, hi, we're on your border.
Right. Well, let's.
We would like to not have an issue with you. And to me, again, NATO is a defensive tactic. It's not offensive.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, that's the whole point of NATO, to simply contain Russia and then form this alliance that would push back against it, to intimidate Russia from doing the sorts of things that it likes to do, which is this
expansionism. I feel like those are the people that we really need to be, like, you know, like, what should we do? We should be asking the Estonians and the Finns and all the people who've been right there next to Russia since the Iron Curtain came down.
Yeah, right.
Because they've been, like, watching Russia's every move. Like, you know, Rachel Maddow devoted a long segment last night to the Winter War in Finland. And How like they've basically been waiting for the Russians to come back since the last Russian tank left the country.
Wow.
They've got like a whole underground Helsinki.
Oh, like, yeah.
It's under 15 meters of concrete, but like it's like a mall and a swimming pools complex and like hotels. And they're just like, we're completely like they have been ready for the Russians since the Russians left. And I just think that like they know, like they've been watching the Russians closer than anybody. Mm-hmm. So they're going to know like where the, you know, if the cracks in the armor are.
While we're talking about Finland, it's important to remind people that Donald Trump thought Finland was part of Russia, according to John Bolton. I'm just saying. I just want to throw that out there. Just a reminder. It's important to, refresh our memories. Not let things fall down the memory hole. But
The fact that he thought he could buy Greenland and make it the 51st
It's got a lot of minerals. That's right.
Yeah, a lot of minerals.
Minerals.
This is strategic.
Greenland is a strategic place up there, and they got a lot of valuable minerals. I don't want to predict an outcome. I'm just saying the president, who knows a thing or two about buying real estate, wants to take a look at low interest rates, no inflation, virtually no inflation, Chuck Todd.
Chuck
so
Todd.
I actually think it's a pretty
Wasn't Chuck Todd.
You're talking to Jake Tapper.
It was Jake Tapper,
not be afraid of some optimism.
Don't be afraid of optimism.
I can't say definitively because definitively.
I can't feel my face right now.
Exactly. If I could feel things and talk, I could say definitively, but I can't say definitively.
But it's important to have optimism. That's the most important thing is to have optimism. Just moving to the midterm aspect of this Quinnipiac poll, and then I'll let it go because I know Beth on our Patreon page is going to shoot me in the head if I keep talking about this Quinnipiac poll.
Oh, she's like Heidi on Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone. She's not allowed to do things because Heidi.
Yeah.
So there's the thing.
Beth only likes the Gallup poll, I think. So whenever I talk about Quinnipiac, she's like, you! Damn you!
Damn you, Bob Seska!
Yeah. She does the Gilbert Gottfried. She goes, you fool!
Yes!
Oh,
does.
God rest
his soul.
Gilbert Gottfried.
God rest.
I have never laughed quite as... I mean, and I laugh just as hard every single time when I watch the John Oliver clip where they're like, we've never heard Jared Kushner's voice! And then they play Gilbert Gottfried.
Yeah, just an unbelievably funny guy. And I've watched that Hollywood Squares clip about a million times over the past 48 hours. It is so immensely funny. If you haven't seen the Hollywood Squares Gilbert Gottfried clip, go to YouTube, search for Hollywood Squares and You Fool. The You Fool clip. It is the ultimate sequence from the Hollywood Squares where they kept asking questions and the contestants were getting it wrong, wrong, wrong. And every time they would get it wrong, Gilbert Gottfried would go, you fool! Which is perfect. Perfect.
He was brilliant. God bless him.
Abso-fucking-lutely. So let's talk about this last part of the poll here, which I've been referring to as the fascism gap. And that is the disparity between the Democratic disapproval of Joe Biden and the Republican approval of Joe Biden. And the difference between those two numbers is the fascism gap. Let me explain. Democrats approve of Joe Biden's job performance 76-12%. So that means 12% of Democrats disapprove of Joe Biden's job performance. And Republicans disapprove 94-3%.
Oh, I'm shocked.
So you got 76-12% with Democrats, but 94-3% among Republicans. So once again, that shows that Republicans are in lockstep with their disapproval of Joe Biden, while Democrats are slightly, by whatever it is, 9 percentage points, more iffy on Joe Biden. And that
12%,
is
though. I mean, 12% is. I mean, you can find 12% of people that approve of coal sores.
Yeah, well, I understand that, but at the same time, what we're talking about is a greater percentage of Democrats who disapprove of
Joe Biden than Republicans who approve of Joe Biden. I'm using these numbers to illustrate Republicans being in lockstep while Democrats are a little bit more divided on this. And we're talking about elections now that come down to one percentage point, half a percentage point in some cases, in that range where it triggers runoff elections and things like that, where it triggers recounts and so on. With one or two percentage points dividing a winner and a loser in a midterm election, when you've got 12% of Democrats saying, ah, fuck Joe Biden, that's a big deal. I mean, generally, it's not, but in terms of votes, in terms of winning elections, you want your party as close to being in lockstep as humanly possible. And Democrats, you know how we are. You know, I keep saying 82 million chefs in the kitchen. I've been running into this all week where I've been talking about going after the Republicans for being unpatriotic and giving numerous reasons for that. And maybe we should stop using acronyms like GQP or TFG, which generally people don't understand. It's great for the choir, but you know, swing voters don't understand that shit. So, you know, I've been throwing suggestions out there, and rather than saying, yes, we're going to go with that, it's, you know, the 82 million chefs arrive and they're like, well, no, I think, how about this? And it's like, no. We all need to be united as best we can in the face of these kind of stakes. And I feel like, yeah, you don't expect every last Democrat to support the Democratic president. That's not necessarily what I'm asking. What I'm saying is we could stand to be a little bit closer to lockstep like the Republicans are. We're only 3% out of line with the rest of the Republican
Party. They're programmed to hate everything.
Yeah, of course.
Like that's, but I mean, their industry spews nothing but anger and bile and fear and hatred and destruction. So, I mean,
yeah,
like they are, of course, I mean, united lockstep against Joe Biden because, I mean, they are programmable people.
Yeah. Well, they win, though. I mean, that's the problem. They're on track right now, and it's certainly it's just conventional wisdom at this point. But they're on track to gain an unprecedented number of seats in this midterm. And that's what the forecasts are showing, especially the national polls, which are vague. Granted, yeah, you want to look at the district by district polls to get a better sense of, or in the case of the Senate, state by state polls. But as the conventional wisdom sort of solidifies, we're in that period of time right now where memes are going to start to get established, like the grooming meme.
Fuck that.
The grooming meme is lined up to become the critical race theory of the 22 cycle.
Right. You're right.
Right? I so they started out last year with the Glenn Youngkin, Virginia race, where critical race theory in classrooms scared the piss out of parents with kids in school, right? Now they're going after that same demographic again by scaring the piss out of parents by going after LGBTQ people and saying the teachers are grooming students in the classroom.
Yep.
So it's the same.
And this is where I need to make a special statement to our audience, to everyone who can hear the sound of my voice right now as an LGBTQ person. Straight people, this is when you need to fucking step up.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yes. Because they're talking about us now like mm-hmm. they talked about people in Rwanda before they started murdering them in genocide.
Yeah, yeah.
They're, you know, like this is your, you know, please, you call yourself an ally, but like the next time you are in a conversation with one of your relatives who watches too much Fox News and forwards you those emails, we need you to push the fuck back.
Yeah.
And shut that down and show them on no uncertain terms that this is unacceptable.
Mm-hmm.
That y'all tried this before and used it to keep us down for generations.
Yeah.
We are not fucking having it. And you need to explain to them that you would be much more comfortable leaving your kids with their gay Uncle T-Rex than with Matt Gaetz or Marge Stokefoot.
Yeah.
You know, like, I mean, the predators are all on their fucking side. They identify as straight. Mm-hmm. They work in the community. They're often Republicans. They're sanctimonious and high-handed. And, like, those are the people you need to be watching. The people, the men who flash minors and then marry Lauren Boebert.
Yeah.
You know, like, I mean, these people, those are the predators.
Yep.
So straight people, hit the streets now. Like, get on the phone. Like, instead of shying away from confrontation, hit it.
Yes.
Like, be brave. If you're doing it because, I mean, I don't want to fucking end up getting shot by some QAnon freakazoid.
Yep.
Because I'm an outspoken LGBTQ advocate and activist.
Mm-hmm.
So,
God, really, I'm so glad you mentioned Rwanda and the idea of genocide, because this kind of rhetoric internationally, historically, has always preceded some form of human atrocity. And we need to push back against that as aggressively as possible, while at the same time seeing if we can shoehorn in our own CRT issue for this election cycle. That's going to be the key. Whether that's, the Republicans are the party of predators themselves, or Republicans are unpatriotic, or they're the party of Putin, or any number of things can work. I mean, I've been pushing the unpatriotic thing, looping in Putin as well, but that's just one suggestion. There are many ideas that can be pulled from as far as creating this issue, because it's only a matter of time now. It's like the clock is ticking before cable news and the Sunday shows, the Chuck Todds of the world, or as Larry Kudlow says, Chuck Ta, the Chuck Todds of the world, start to metastasize whatever that talking point's going to be. When was it last year that CRT became like the end-all be-all of the Virginia election, reinforced by the press, reinforced by cable news? Oh my God, parents are upset about critical race theory. What are you going to do about it, Democrats? It's like, you know, I want to talk about this Greg Abbott thing coming up here in a second, because I wouldn't be surprised if at some point cable news didn't say, why haven't the Democrats done anything to push back against what Greg Abbott is doing in Texas with this border restriction on trucks? And it's like, but Beto O'Rourke is down there fighting his ass off against this thing. I mean, milking it for all it's worth in the best possible way. And it's actually helped his polling, to be honest.
Yeah.
So this is something I want to talk about here in the next segment. But I also want to talk about, we have another Republican sexual predator to add to the list. This is the sort of thing that we need to repeat.
We should just stand on this field and fight, because this is where they're coming to do the battle, and you know they got no leg to stand on.
Yeah, but then we're only responding to their message rather than leading the charge ourselves. But rather than turning the tennis ball machine around against them, we're constantly fielding their tennis balls. And it's important to field their tennis balls, but it's also important to fire back. It's also important to make sure that we have our own message that will hopefully become the defining message of this particular congressional, state, and local election, etc. So that's really what I'm pitching here. And it can be, as I said before, it can be patriotism, it can be Putin, it can be Ukraine, it can be any number of things, as long as there's a thing. And there are people who are much better paid than I am who come up with these things. And so get going. Now's the time. And hopefully all of us on social media, et cetera, will join you in repeating whatever that message happens to be. Because that's the key. Going back to our lockstep poll result from Quinnipiac, the key is to at least get close to duplicating the Republican level of lockstep. Because the stakes in this are too high. They're banning abortion all over the place. They're condemning LGBTQ people, making them second-class citizens as if they weren't already, right? They're demonizing them. I mean, Tucker Carlson
targets.
Was on.
They're making us into targets.
Thank you. And Tucker Carlson, yes. Specific to that, David, Tucker Carlson was on his show saying, men need to go into the classroom and thrash the teachers. I mean, literally advocating violent attacks against educators in this country. And so I think it's time we start wheeling out the big guns and stop being the guy who follows the elephant cleaning up the shit behind him. We need to be leading the parade is what we need to be doing.
Yes.
Okay, so lots more to talk about here on our Thursday show. Back with more right after this.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
Bob Seska!
All-time favorites all day long.
love good horns, you know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The War and Treaty. I love this song. Yep. It's called Five More Minutes from Heartstown.
Leaving so soon.
Oof.
Yeah.
It's like we just arrived.
Love her.
Amazing. I want to play the whole thing.
Yeah.
Don't leave just yet. We got all night.
Oh my God, she's like Anita Baker.
Yeah, she is. Yeah.
Oh, better.
Ah, here we go.
Roll the windows down and step on the gas.
Fucking A. Yeah, no She's doubt. Amazing.
TheWarAndTreaty.com. Link in the description under this episode of BobSeska.com. Thank you for supporting all of our indie bands. And, of course, this month, exclusively black musicians on the show. 100% wall-to-wall. Another one coming up here after the next break. So, BobSeska.com/music. If you want to submit, we'll get your songs into the rotation ASAP. All right.
God, she's just like butter. That was just like,
I know.
Like butter. Yeah.
Like butter.
Yeah. You know who else? I got to say, you know who else is like butter? The great Travis Bone, the executive producer of the Stephanie Miller Show, was my guest once again yesterday on the show. We geeked out for.
I look forward to that.
Like
I look forward to the actual thing that you wanted to do. So.
Yeah. Well, we got interrupted by the tragedy last week, and Travis was so great to stick around and help me out with that. And so we spent half an hour talking about Eric Bohler last week. And so I wanted to have Travis back to talk about everything that we had planned to talk about, comic book movies. Star Trek, Star Wars.
The two of you with flashlights under your chin being like, could Superman have a baby with a normal woman?
Like, he did.
Yeah.
He did.
Lois Lane, yes, absolutely.
He did.
Yeah.
I thought it was postulated that the force of his ejaculate would be lethal.
Oh, that's Kevin Smith. Yeah, Kevin Smith did a whole bit about that. Like it would just shoot out the back of Lois Lane, just making this giant exit wound, right?
I don't think so. Yeah, I think he can control his jizz.
Yeah, I
that's
think
another
so.
Title. He can control his jizz. That's another title.
There you go. Show. That's maybe the show title. That's God. Where's
control?
Yes. Oh, by the way, Happy Easter, ladies.
Happy Easter.
On the jizz note,
that's like Easter at David Lynch's mansion. Play it again and imagine an axe dripping blood.
Happy Easter.
Yeah, it's like the sad version of the Happy Easter jingle.
It's
yeah.
like a train horns chord.
Yeah. You know, remember the old days on Entertainment Tonight where there was the peppy Entertainment Tonight theme, and then when they would do like a celebrity death, they had the sad version of the Entertainment Tonight.
Sad.
The Entertainment Tonight theme is
do 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 do. I know, it was like the sad one.
Yeah, that's
Happy Easter.
Yeah.
Happy sad Easter. All right. Let's see what else. So Greg Abbott is, I think, deliberately stymieing the economy, worsening the supply chain thing insofar as there is still a supply chain thing. I don't think there is, but he's kind of creating one at the Texas southern border with Mexico, where he has now mandated that every single truck has to be stopped and inspected at the border. We already know.
Bob, small government.
Exactly.
I know. Small government conservatives, right? We're going to stop and inspect, or as you could probably call it, regulate all of these trucks that are coming through. Normal shipping lanes, normal trucking lanes, of course. And you know what they do? They normally stop and inspect some of the trucks, but they don't stop and inspect all of the trucks. This was instituted, according to the Washington Post, in response to the Biden administration's announcement that a pandemic-era impediment to immigration would be discontinued. So Abbott's state inspections caused thousands of trucks to back up for as much as 8 miles at ports of entry. Trucks containing household goods, car parts, other shelf-stable goods have been delayed, tangling up supply chains that involve hundreds of thousands of jobs on both sides of the border. Multi-day backups could lead to much of the fruit and vegetable produce to spoil, rendering it entirely worthless. So this is how they do it. This is kind of how they sabotage the economy. We saw this in 2009, didn't we? With shortly after Mitch McConnell announced that, well, I'm going to do whatever I can to make Barack Obama one-term president. And so he did. He did. He deliberately tried to sabotage the economy, the economic recovery coming out of the Great Recession, in order to make sure that people would blame Barack Obama for it. We're seeing it, I think, we're seeing it with some corporations, some gas companies, for example, inflating gas prices, knowing that ignorant morons will all blame Joe Biden for that and then punish him in the election. They don't care as long as profits are up, right?
Yeah.
And so I think Greg Abbott is doing the same thing. However, as I said in the last segment, Beto O'Rourke, who's running against Greg Abbott for governor of Texas, Beto is within like 1 or 2 percentage points in the latest polls. He is catching, and he has been catching up significantly over the past month or so. And this could be very good news for turning Texas blue, because Greg Abbott has used this plot and stepped into his own propeller. Right?
Poo. He stepped into poo.
He stepped into his own poop. Yes. So happy Easter. Happy Easter.
Happy Easter.
That's such Greg Abbott. Depressing. Yeah. Oh my God. So sad.
I know. But it's actually, it's going to turn out to be good news, I think, ultimately for Beto O'Rourke. I hope.
Yeah.
I mean, that's fingers crossed that we end up with a Democratic governor. The last time Democratic governor, do you remember the last Democratic governor of Texas? Anyone?
Ann Richards.
Anyone? Ann Richards.
Ann Richards.
George
Bush.
He's
amazing.
Born with a silver foot in his mouth. God, wonderful.
She was amazing. I miss her.
Sorry
she's gone.
Everything. Everything you want in a Democratic leader, she had.
In Texas.
Right? Yeah.
She had the hair. She had the accent. She was all good.
And everything she said was quick, concise, memorable. Yep. And the Democrats need to do more of that. Rather than, you know, some Democrats do this, and I'm talking about politicians, people on Twitter alike. You know what we're always doing? We're always relating our
explaining.
We're always explaining.
Yes.
But here's specifically kind of how it works. We're always explaining our ideas, worried about what people will say in the comments. So we over explain to kind of outflank the commenters. That's what sometimes happens on social media. But I find that Democratic politicians are doing that too. Like, oh God, I got to make sure I cover all my bases here, because I don't want anyone complaining about anything that I may have left out of this. Because inevitably, you're going to get people in the replies, or you're going to get people calling your office, sending you faxes or emails saying, you left out this, or you left out that, and why didn't you include this? And so
they're going to do it anyway.
I know.
They're absolutely going to do it anyway. This is, you know, when I first started my job as a classical music announcer, like one of the other DJs warned me that people were going to call up to correct my pronunciation left and right. Like, and I just decided, well, fuck it. If they're going to be doing it, I'm just going to go ahead and say Heinrich Wieniawski and just roll with it, you know, like, and hope that I got it right. And like, you end up, like, if you say it with confidence, you know, like, they're going to complain anyway, but they're going to complain if you got it right.
Yeah.
So just plow ahead, be aggressive, be, you know, I just,
And who had no fucks about shit like that? Ann fucking Richards. She would just let fly, and if she forgot to mention your pet angle on the issue, so be it, because what she was saying was concise, and it resonated, and it also, in many cases, made people laugh, like George Bush with a silver foot in his mouth, which is one of the famous lines. So moving on here, add this to your list. Every time someone says to you, a red hat screams about grooming, we have another Republican sexual predator to add.
Happy Easter.
Wait, where did that come from? I don't understand.
The Easter Bunny touched me in my no-no place.
Oh, I'm going to get all kinds of angry letters from Christians. Okay. One of the leading contenders.
Welcome it. Yeah, welcome it, Bob. Just welcome it.
I can say, like, they've made it this far?
That's right. I know. The jizz conversation, wasn't it?
Happy
Easter.
Oh, God, Bob!
The wrong things trigger that jingle. Jody's reaction is killing me today. One of the
Bob Luis Seska.
Exactly.
By the way,
I'm so far from my microphone right now, I'm that mad.
Yeah. Spicy Jody. I got so many DMs about Spicy Jody last week.
Well, it happens.
Everyone loves Spicy Jody. I mean, it was the
first. Yeah, my mom doesn't so much.
It was the first time I have had to bleep something in a long, long time. I didn't bleep a bunch of the C words in there. But anyway.
I'm a girl. I can say that. So it's a thing.
So where was I?
And I'm a so I can.
So.
Happy Easter.
Sorry. Putting a little marker in that file there. Okay. Yeah. Just making sure. Making sure I don't forget it. Okay, where were we? Oh, Republican sexual predators.
Oh, there's that.
Yeah.
Happy Easter.
Okay. It's almost redundant, you know, Republican sexual predator.
It is.
I know. One of the leading contenders in the Republican primary for governor of Nebraska, Charles Herbster. Oh, the Herbster.
Making copies. The Herbster.
That was my least favorite file sharing software in 2001, Herbster. It was not a good alternative to Napster, I swear to God.
It's a weed-based downloading platform.
Happy Easter. It's actually
Herbster, dude.
The Herbster.
Unless you're British, then it's Herbster.
Yeah, Herbster. He was accused on Thursday of having groped 8 women in a detailed expose in the Nebraska Examiner. The Examiner reports that, quote, all of the incidents occurred between 2017 and this year, and the women ranged in age from their late teens to mid-20s at the time of the incidents.
Yeah, and in Nebraska, 11 is late teens. So
yeah. Herbster is the CEO of Conkling Co. and has received the endorsement of former President Donald Trump to replace the term-limited Governor Pete Ricketts. Another unfortunate last name. Herbster, which is still making me laugh.
Are you a governor or a vitamin A deficiency?
Oh, my God. That shouldn't have made me laugh so much.
Happy Easter.
Herbster, however, was already a somewhat controversial figure in Nebraska, and Ricketts publicly broke with Trump in October of 2021 when the former president endorsed Herbster. So once again, Donald Trump linked to a sexual predator. How many is this? I mean,
and with Ricketts.
Yeah, with.
I mean, come on.
The other guy was, you bear in mind, the other guy was named Herpes.
Exactly.
Oh, no, Scurvy. Yeah. That's the end. He was running against Richard Scurvy.
Richard Scurvy. Who, by the way, my least favorite child author. Storybooks with all the animals living in a little town, each one labeled.
And Bob, can I just say one thing?
Yeah.
Fuck David Mamet.
Yes.
Happy Easter.
In particular. It's a shame because he's a brilliant writer, but oh my God.
I'm just imagining Richard Scurvy's book, The Seven Sick Pirates.
Richard Scurvy. Oh, yeah. Poor Lowly the Worm. Remember Lowly the Worm and the Richard Scarry books? Okay. So anyway, so as we all laugh through the latest sexual predator story, like idiots.
This is wrong.
We all know what to do when it comes to Chuck Herbster. Make sure the world knows about Chuck Herbster and the fact that Donald Trump has already endorsed this goddamn sexual predator. Meantime, according to the new book by Jonathan Martin and Alexander Burns, Mitch McConnell was aware of Trump's plans to overturn the election in December of 2020. It wasn't just after the insurrection when Mitch is like, oh, what's going on here? I don't understand. No, it was back in the day. I mean, it was like a month ago.
An utter surprise to me.
Yeah, exactly. Trump was certain he could subvert the election outcome. This is according to CNN, telling Mitch McConnell
then the Senate Majority Leader, and other top Republicans that he had personally been on the phone with officials in Pennsylvania and Michigan, and they told him they would move to keep him in power despite the results showing Biden had won their states. Quote, "I've been calling folks in those states, and they're with us," Trump is reported to have told the Senate GOP leaders in a private December 2020 phone call. According to a soon-to-be-released book by New York Times political reporters Jonathan Martin and Alexander Burns, both CNN political analysts. So Mitch McConnell knew all that time and didn't do a goddamn thing. Didn't bother to say anything to anyone because, of course, Mitch McConnell's loyalty is to the party over country. Yet another reason to impugn their lack of patriotism. Party over country. This is what the Republicans do. Mitch McConnell is on record talking to Jonathan Swan, in particular, putting party over country, saying that, yeah, Donald Trump is incompetent. Donald Trump doesn't know what he's doing. Donald Trump is dangerous to this country. But, oh, yeah, I'd vote for him again. I'd vote for him absolutely one more time. And then Mitch McConnell said this. Turtly. Wait for it. Wait.
That was Mitch McConnell's O face.
Kimberly loves that one, by the way.
Happy Easter. Funny.
Yeah.
Ew.
She's like, oh, you're not giving the turtle any privacy, Bob. That's like an invasion of the turtle's privacy.
No, the turtle. The turtle.
What about the croc?
I know. My God, poor croc.
It's a fucking chew. So
every time I see crocs on people's feet now, though, I think about like getting their like dry humped by a turtle. Like I just
I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry you now have that mental image, and to everyone in the audience who does too.
As if crocs weren't bad enough on their own.
Yeah, I know.
They're like turtle.
Okay, the shoes are fine.
So, no, they're not.
No, they're gross. But you know, I have people that they're lovely, apparently.
So how about these apples here? Charlie Kirk thinks high-rise buildings are liberal somehow. So he's encouraging developers to make smaller buildings because smaller buildings.
Has he met Trump?
I know. Holy shit. Donald Trump has the penthouse apartment in Trump Tower in Manhattan.
And the tallest building, you know.
He's not, and that's not the only high-rise building that Donald Trump owns. There's, and Jared Kushner, for that matter. They own all kinds of shit. But Charlie Kirk doesn't care. Here's Charlie Kirk and his teeny tiny baby teeth.
We have a huge housing crisis in our country, the likes of which we have not seen in a long period of time. But I believe that we need to build horizontally, not vertically. It's one of my speeches. Developers don't like it when I say this, but it's true. The higher the building, the more liberal the voter. It just is.
What?
So, and if you are, the closer to the ground you are, the more conservative you are. We should encourage people to spread horizontally and not vertically. Look at Denver. The higher the high rises, has Denver become less free or more free? It's become a dystopian nightmare. You guys know that.
No. Yes, Denver, Colorado is a dystopian nightmare. As soon as I think of Denver, Colorado, first thing I'm going to is like Thunderdome. It's like, yes, Master Blaster and Tina Turner are battling it out as to who controls
in
the
Denver.
Methane. Oh, my God.
I lived
people.
In a high-rise in Denver in the late 80s. So, yes, it was dystopian.
Yeah. Taking advantage of
the fuck is he talking about?
Well, he's taking advantage of the bubble audience that he has. That's the whole point of this. If you've got a bubble audience, they'll believe whatever you tell them.
Now, you might say, Charlie, that's a correlation or the causation. Think about it. If you're on the 32nd floor renting, not owning, if you're not in the weeds and in the yard and understanding what it takes to grow food and to maintain the land, you're going to be more or less likely to actually be a conservative. The higher the building, every single study shows they become more liberal over time. It's happening in Phoenix, happened in Denver, happened in Atlanta,
all those
studies. Happened in Chicago, happened everywhere, and yet few people actually say that out loud.
In some of those cities, Donald Trump owns high-rise buildings, by the way.
Exactly. That's the biggest building after 9/11, remember?
Yeah. Yeah. Once again,
oh my God.
I think Charlie Kirk's been whizzing on the electric fence.
Don't whiz on the electric fence. He's been huffing Freon. I mean, these are like, the most, how do you even make these associations? It's like he went to the city, he saw some big buildings, he got scared and like ran back to Tuscaloosa or wherever you know, and like, ooh, tall building, me fat, me not like, you know, just like.
Did he really say? Did he really say me not like? Is that what it? No, he said me not like. I know.
So many titles. That's the title of the show. So many titles.
It's an embarrassment of riches, isn't it?
Exactly.
I love it. Meantime, Marjorie Sporkfoot. By the way, if you Google Marjorie Sporkfoot, this show comes up as like the fourth result in the first page of Google. So thank you to everybody for elevating our search engine standing with Marjorie Sporkfoot. And by the way, I didn't invent Marjorie Sporkfoot. We're just repeating someone else's joke. That's all.
That I think it was somebody else clear. That Chris did or Stephanie did.
Yeah.
We've all been doing it.
Yeah, it was most likely. If anyone invented that we know of, it was probably someone on the Stephanie Miller show. I'm almost 100%
Chris.
Sure. Yeah, yeah. Or I may have seen it on Twitter. I don't know. But regardless.
To be completely honest, I saw somebody calling her Spork Toes, and I was like, that's funnier if you say Sporkfoot. And so I said it on the next show. So I might actually be
the
progenitor. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Well, Stephanie had the best usage of Marjorie Sporkfoot's actual feet. She was talking about eating like a KFC meal with Marjorie's foot, like scooping up the coleslaw and mashed potatoes. That made me laugh and laugh and laugh, right?
Happy Easter.
Oh, my God. That's so depressing.
I know. So Marjorie Sporkfoot says that if you enlist in the military, you're, quote, throwing your life away. Yeah. And you know what Democrats are doing? They're throwing this zinger away. If there isn't, like, a whole series of ads, we're missing a gigantic opportunity, not just to label them, as I keep saying, as unpatriotic, but also it sets up the Democrats as being the party of American values. That's the other side effect of this particular attack, because it's a matter of contrast. It's a matter of saying this is what these guys are, and by extension, we're the opposite. So we must be the party of American values and American patriotism. There's nothing wrong with the Democrats taking back that word a little bit. David, you and I have observed the Republicans branding the word patriotism since the 9/11 attacks. Yeah. Why let them?
Republicans think they say they love America, but they hate Americans.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
You know, they
do.
Yeah.
They have blistering contempt for all the people who are not. But see, this is the thing about like people like Marjorie Sporkfoot and, you know, the Yam Emperor or whatever we call him, the former guy. Like, they're just like endless like hate machines. They're like perpetual emotion machines of hate and resentment. Mm-hmm. And they will find a way to be mad at everybody.
Yeah, yeah.
And, that's the part of the thing, though, is that the people who like them I don't think that they really like Marjorie Taylor Greene. They just like the unending spew of hate and resentment. And they tag into that. Mm-hmm. And go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, they like the iconography of American patriotism.
Oh, yeah, they love that shit.
What they don't like is America. They don't like American values. They don't like liberal values. They're into the flag. They're into the paintings of the eagle with, Donald Trump photoshopped onto Sylvester Stallone's body or some shit like that. Mm-hmm. They don't understand the fact that there are other amendments to the Constitution besides just the Second Amendment. So these are all things that I think are ripe for the Democrats to take advantage of. And we desperately, desperately need to before it's too late. Okay, I want to talk about Ron DeSantis here before we wrap up the show. Mark Meadows as well, committing voter fraud and a whole lot more still to come. But meantime, unlike some podcasts, we have a couple of commercial breaks in our shows. But here's the best way to listen to the Bob Seska Show without all those commercials. Just go right now to our Patreon page at bobseskashow.com. Scroll down to the link for the ultimate edition of the podcast and sign up for just $15 per month. In exchange for your generous, generous support, we'll give you a completely commercial-free version of the Tuesday and Thursday shows, and the Shadow Docket show will be included as part of that audio file. So you'll have a complete listening experience for an hour and a half. In other words, one mega show with the free portion and the Shadow Docket combined, exactly how it's recorded, and no commercials. Plus, wait, there's more dings, you'll also get the Friday After Party podcast with me and Kimberly included in that level of support, all for just $15 per month. Again, that's BobSeskaShow.com. Bookmark it, send it to all your friends, and we thank you.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Bob Seska plays more music.
You just gotta let me know. You just gotta let me know. How you gon' plant a seed and not let it grow? How you gon' plant a seed and not let it grow? And I've been thinking about some things that they would never know. I've been going through some things, can't let it go. I've been going through some things it would never show. But you just gotta let me know. How you gon' plant a seed and not let it grow? Just think about forever, now we falling off. Never say never, never though we call it off. You was supposed to be the one I was calling on. Why you gotta be the one that I'm pulling
on? Yeah, this goes all the way back to the beginning of our indie music playlist here on the show. This is Relly Rel and a song called Let Me Know.
I've been working so hard.
Yeah, got a link in the description under this episode of BobSeska.com to go download all of Relly Rel's music. Do it now. Yeah, okay. Digging back into things here before we wrap up our Thursday show. Let's see. So we talked about the Charlie Kirk thing. Ron DeSantis signed Florida's latest attack against women. The latest effort to make. Yeah, Florida is becoming a real hospitable area if you're a woman, reproductive age woman, if you're LGBTQ. Good luck to you in the state of Florida. DeSantis signed a 15-week abortion ban into law on Thursday as the state joined a growing conservative push to restrict access ahead of a U.S. Supreme Court decision that could limit the procedure nationwide. You know what? I hope they get the carpet ripped out from under them. I hope the Supreme Court swings the other way on this.
They might.
You know what? There's kind of a chance. I believe there's a chance that they will not overturn Roe. I think there's at least a 50% chance that it's going to work out that way. And I don't know how that would apply to the Oklahoma decision. I would imagine it would nullify the Oklahoma law.
It would.
Which is the first one to apply. Well, I don't think it's the first one, but it's the harshest one so far to apply a harsher penalty to a doctor who performs an abortion than the rapist who may have caused the pregnancy in the first place.
Oh, yeah.
What is the sentence for rape in Oklahoma? Is it like 5 years is the sentencing recommendation?
Yeah, that's a max.
Yeah.
And then a doctor could get 10 years.
10 years if you perform an abortion in Oklahoma.
Being a lady.
Yeah.
Who cannot get pregnant anymore. Yay, menopause. Anyway.
yeah.
having been a person who could get pregnant.
Yeah.
They will overturn Texas for sure.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah, because it's 6 weeks. They're going to overturn Texas.
Yeah, well, I hope so. I hope so.
They will not, by the way, overturn the Mississippi or whatever the fucking law is at 15 weeks. They will not. They will uphold that, which means Florida.
Yeah.
Trust me.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to fucking uphold that 15-week goddamn ban because Amy,
Coney
would
Barrett.
Love to be. Yeah. I would love to be in The Handmaid's Tale, Barrett. we'll uphold that shit. And so will Justice Beer Guy. I hate all of them.
Justice Beer Guy. Yet another possible name for today's show. Yeah, I think you're exactly right, Jody. There's a possibility that they uphold Roe, but they move the point of viability
the weeks,
back.
Yeah.
They move viability back to 15 weeks,
yeah.
Which is not real.
No.
A fetus that's born at 15 weeks is going to die. 15
yeah,
weeks is not going to survive.
She or he or they will fucking die. Because you know what?
Yeah.
Even if you have the best medical technology,
mm-hmm.
that little potential human
is
not going to survive.
No.
And if he or she or they do...
Yeah. I know. As my finger hovers over the Happy Easter jingle, but I'm not.
Oh,
I'm
just
not
do
play.
It.
Yeah,
no. No.
Sorry.
And by the way, Jeebus never talked about abortion. He did not like the death penalty. So let's go with that.
Yeah.
I'm going to just like talk completely out of my armpit here and just say that I feel like these laws have the feeling of those frantic marriage laws that were passed before Obergefell, where they were like frantically trying to be, you know, like make marriage illegal between anyone but, you know, a cis man and a cis woman. And and that something will happen legislatively or something will happen that, I mean, I don't know. I just, this is a question that it's really time to put to bed.
Yeah, I know.
And, you know, once again, for me, it's like, if you don't like abortions, don't have one.
Don't have one. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Thank you.
If you don't like same-sex marriage, don't marry a gay person.
Yeah.
Like, it's very simple.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, back the fuck off. But this is, I mean, this is how they excite their base and they get them all just like squirming in their seats thinking about like, you know, establishing some kind of Christian hegemony like over the whole country. And
yeah, I mean, it's one of those things where they're absolutely pandering. They're pandering for sure. They're making sure that their voters know that, well, hey, look what we've done. Ron DeSantis can go into his presidential campaign and say, look what we've done here. We've banned abortion after 15 weeks in my state of Florida. Congratulate me, support me, me, me. And that's the whole point. Doesn't matter if it gets overturned.
Just never mind how many people's lives get ground a hamburger in the meantime.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, you know, like it just.
I still wonder whether there's going to be some form of mass exodus if Roe is overturned and some of these anti-LGBTQ laws continue to be passed. They go after Obergefell. They go after.
But where do we
Griswold. Go? Yeah, I don't know. That's just a question. You go to blue states. If they overturn Roe, you'll still be able to legally get abortions in any blue state.
Mm.
It's just the red states. That's where you're going to have, you know, the handmaid situation in these red states.
God, I hope Stacey Abrams is my next governor.
Yeah.
I hope so, too. It's up to you, David.
Yep. It's up to you. It's entirely on David's shoulders. And
no
if she
crash.
Loses, it'll be your fault.
Yep.
It'll be your fault.
It's all on you, David.
Yeah. So Mark Meadows committed voter fraud, and why hasn't he been arrested yet? I mean, this is legitimately voter fraud.
Yep.
He voted in Virginia, even though he was registered in North Carolina. But he was registered
at a double-wide trailer.
Yeah, and you know where the...
Never set foot. It's a country song waiting to happen.
Yeah.
I voted in North Carolina. You know, just like, yeah.
The location of the trailer is Scaly Mountain. This is another fun.
Ew.
Man, when I get a scaly mountain, I hate the itching, but I don't mind the swelling.
yeah, it's right by the Rash River.
Well, that's the name of the country.
Pimple Holler.
Voter fraud on Scaly Mountain. I got voter fraud on Scaly Mountain. Ding, 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 ding.
I love that. That's it.
Yeah.
Voter fraud on Scaly Mountain is the title of the show.
Yeah.
Well, he's been removed from North Carolina's voter rolls. It's about time a Republican gets kicked off the voter rolls and not just black people, right? It's a move that made the State Bureau of Investigation continue to probe into allegations the former White House chief of staff committed election fraud. You know what? This is voter fraud. Election fraud to me suggests
the ballot harvesting thing he did.
Yeah, yeah. Or what Donald Trump was engaged in. That was election fraud. This is like voter fraud. If it's one voter committing some form of fraud, then by definition, it's voter fraud. Macon County Board of Elections Director Melanie Tebow confirmed April 12 that she had removed Meadows the prior day from the county's active voter list. Tebow said she consulted the North Carolina Board of Elections staff in Raleigh after finding records that Meadow was registered both in Virginia and North Carolina. How many cases of this have we seen? You need more ammunition for the unpatriotic attack against the Republicans. They cheat in elections. They cheat, they cheat, they cheat. What, Glenn Youngkin's kid tried to vote like, what, three or four times in the gubernatorial race last year?
Yep.
One example after another, all culminating with the insurrection, with the Zelensky-Ukraine extortion. You can include that, too. The Republicans hate America. Just say it, Democrats. They hate America. They don't like American values. They hate democracy. They're undermining democracy. They're undermining
overseas democracies. They're undermining our NATO allies. How is that patriotic? Tell me one thing, besides insisting that Colin Kaepernick stand for the national anthem, what else do the Republicans have where they could say, yes, we're patriotic? Uh-uh, nothing. They're
See, but they've mistaken nationalism for patriotism.
That's absolutely like, right. Yep.
Patriotism is loving your country, but understanding that it has its flaws. Mm-hmm. Nationalism is basically stalking your country and trying to keep anybody else from ever being able to be in a healthy relationship with it.
Exactly. So, ladies and gentlemen, happy Easter.
Happy Easter.
All right.
I'm depressed now.
Well, just wait till the shadow docket comes up, Jody. Because guess we got John Hinckley in the news today.
Oh, shit.
We're going to talk about in the shadow docket portion of the show on our Patreon page. $5 per month. Sign up at bobseskashow.com. But it's even better if you sign up at $15 a month because we take out all the commercials. We combine the shadow docket with the free show just as it's recorded. All that good stuff. Plus, you get the after party on Fridays for that $15 a month support. It's basically everything. You sign up at $15 a month, you get everything we have to offer, except the commercials. And people like that. So, you know, get going. Do it now. Let's see what else. We're going to talk about Alex Jones, maybe. Alex Jones is doing something shitty, really, really shitty. I'm not going to spoil it.
Really?
Yeah. Alex Jones did something shitty.
Weird.
Yes, it happens all the time. Alex Jones is the king of shitty. Yes. Plus, Fox News and Truth Social. So there's a little bit of conflict between Fox News and Truth Social. Yes, fight, fight, fight! There's a fight happening. And so we're going to stand around in a circle and point and laugh at the fight.
Do we have the Truth Social sound on deck?
Yes, we do. Let me just, before we finish the show, let me wrap up and check the Truth Social server, see if it's up. Oh, no. There it goes. Crashing again. Blue screen of death. Good luck. Yeah, there you go. There's the Truth Social server. Bad, bad shape. That's what they get for putting it on a Windows 95 machine made by Dell. Yeah. I could have warned them. That was a bad idea. Okay. Like I said, that's all coming up on the Shadow Docket program. Meantime, make sure to listen to our Wednesday interview show, me and Travis Bone talking about nerdy things. Travis is such a great guest. So many interesting little insights. He knows way more about comic books than I do. So I was glad to have him on board.
Nerd!
To fill in all the gaps in that conversation. Because I'm more of the movie guy. Like, I really follow the movies and shows and less of the comics. And Travis knows all about the comics. So go listen to that. Meantime, Shadow Docket up next. See you over there, folks. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Happy Easter.